Hebrew chapter 3, verses 7 to 19 will be today's main context. You shall not enter into my rest will be the title that will frame today's teaching. Under that title, let us share the word. Firstly, let us look at the screen together and reiterate some of the teachings from the past. The overall architecture of the teaching is narrated here on the screen. The structure is dichotomized into two bifurcations. First, Jesus Christ, the essence of his divinity, who he is. And the latter portion is how we are to be enacted, drawing from the faith in Jesus Christ. And under the former category, his superiority relative to the glorious holy angels and the Moses, the quintessence of devotion and who led the Israelites. And thirdly, Aaron, who also was a great high priest, how superior Jesus is relative to the aforementioned characters. And continuing, the great ministry of Jesus' work. And comparing to the high priest and the covenant from the Old Testament and the high the holy temples, and how we had to daily, routinely sacrifice lambs to cleanse us of our sins, but how he has completed the incompleteness of the Old Testament and the sacrifices. It inculcates on this teaching and segueing into the superior life of the devoted elects, the true faith, the church, and the worship. And not relying on the Old Testament sacrifice, but the living sacrifice in the Lord. This is the overall framework of the teachings. And intermittently, at intervals, it gives us solemn admonishments. First, do not be negligent of the word. The grace that we have received is ineffably great. Hence, do not make light of it. Do not trivialize it in any way. It sternly warns us. And second, take precautions as you may not enter into his rest. And third, do not remain in a static state as a novice. And fourthly, do not stomp on Jesus. And lastly, be careful as you may fall from the grace. Last week, we have learned about the first admonishment last week. Do not be negligent of it. Turn away from the word. It sternly warns us. Continuing today, we will learn from the chapter 3 to the chapter 4, which we will learn next week, how we may not be able to enter into his rest. It was promised to us, the eternal rest, but you may not reach the destination. You may not become partakers of this. It solemnly admonishes us. It solemnly admonishes us. Hence, when you receive the word, you must solemnize the teachings into your hearts. Verse 7, let us in unison read together. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, you shall not, so as the Holy Spirit says, Holy Spirit relentlessly speaks to us. Even now, when you believe in him, we became new creations, and he resides in us because of the faith. And through to us, he without rest speaks to us. Verse 1, chapter 1, 1 Hebrews, let us look at it. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. who is he is a God who speaks. In the Old Testament period, through the prophets, in various forms and ways, spoke to them. Verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. He ceaselessly speaks to us through his Son, through the Holy Spirit. And verse 3, chapter 3, 15, as has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. He speaks to us. He will ceaselessly speak to us and teaches us on who he is. And we may conjure up images and the characters of Jesus or as to who he is, but they are insufficient. As it is revealed to us in the Old Testament, in the book of the Holy, you have to be awakened to it through that methodology, not from your own imagination. God reveals himself to us through the scriptures, and he without fail speaks to us, and we must hear this. You must heed carefully to these words. Verse 8, let us look at it together. Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness. In the Old Testament, God, the Israelites who were under the subjugation of the Egypt's governance, he has uplifted them through Moses, who was delegated with the work. And he promised them that they will reach the land of the promised. They not only was uplifted from the subjugation and the enslavement, but he also promised them that they will reach the promised land. And up to that point, leading up to it, there is a test that you must pass, which was the Sinai Desert, to the point of entering the Canaan destination. You must pass through the wilderness in the midst of the Canaan, or in the midst of the desert. They rebelled and defied against God. Their hearts became hard. In the verse, it reads as hardened. What does it mean? The Pharaoh saw the various miracles performed by God, but to the end, he rejected the miracles and denied the miracles. And to characterize his sentiment, the Bible uses the word hardened. To the very end, he was obstinate in his firm, egregious flaws. And what happened? 10 plagues were casted upon him, and he was destructed. But this disbelief is not endemic to him only, but it applies to everybody. People who were uplifted, redeemed, they too could face the hardening of the heart. Their hearts were also marked by the obduracy of disbelief and ambivalence again about God. They rebelled against God. Verse 9, let us invoke it together. Were your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did at that place, at that time, your ancestors, you have tested me and tried me. God, when he speaks to you, you have to exclaim, amen. Did they do this? No. They had misgivings and were suspicious of God, and even though when he lavishly afforded them with miracles and grace, even when they saw it and it was validated, they still were suspicious. For how long? 40 years. They were suspicious of God, even though God authenticated himself through his miracles. The bitter acerbic water was transmuted into sweet water. God did this for them. Even in the barren land, barren, devoid of food, but he made the land fertile and provided them with manna. Covering all demography, there were about 3 million people even to all of these people, covering all ages, he nourished them with sweet water, and under the scorching sun, he protected them and casted a shade to provide comfort, and during the nighttime, to protect them from the chilliness, protected them, and he ensured that their clothes were not frayed, and did not wear threadbare clothes, always afforded them with the furnishments and the provisions they require. But even despite all of these miracles they have beheld, they still were suspicious of God and rejected God. These were the Israelites. It's not that he did not afford them with the miracles and provisions. He revealed himself and provided all the requisite nourishments and miracles, but they still deny God. The consequence of this was, God said, "So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is why I was angry with that generation," I said. "Their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. They were invariably always connived and also hardened. They were led astray. They were oblivious to the path that was tracked by God for us. What happens? What is the consequence of these types?" So I declared on oath in my anger, "They shall never enter my rest." Verse 11, Israelites were uplifted by God, and they were ushered into the Canaanite promised land. This was a covenant. And thereafter, he said this, "They shall never enter my rest," he said. These solemn warnings, it was not just spoken to them, but all of those who are receiving the epistle book of Hebrews too must heed this. It applies to us as well. In the Lord, in the faith, we have the promise and we have the glories that we can partake, the eternal heaven, but we may not reach the destination and the promised land. If you are not a partaker of this, it's possible. You could wish all you want, but you may not enter. God, he is solemnly, sternly warning us and gives us three solid admonishments. You too must be careful. Verse 12, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." You must be careful. Solemnly be careful. Be in fear that you may be separated from God. You could be distanced from God. What does this mean? What is the full import of this? It's very possible that you could fall from grace. Hence, you must take precautions. This is being spoken to us, to brothers and sisters. You believe him as your savior. We have become new creations, and together with Jesus as brothers, he is speaking to the brothers and sisters. Even the devotees could also be separated from God. You must take precautions. You could very well indeed be separated from God. You might ask me, "Pastor, what about Book of Romans? How are we to interpret this? 38:39. What does it mean? Let us together invoke it. Book of Romans 38, chapter, verse 39. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. From his love, you cannot be separated from him. It clearly states it in the book of Romans. Who is he speaking to? Book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation in the faith. From the love, you will not fall. You will not be separated from God. God will glue us to him. The belief will glue us to him. But if you abandon the faith that you had at the outset, what happens? Then you could be disjointed from God. Hence, you must take precaution solemnly. Be aware of this. And daily to each other, implore and encourage and recommend the right path. Something to the effect of always encourage each other. There are things that will harden our hearts, the temptations of sins, the enticements of the sins. The temptation itself does not harden our hearts, but it is invariably in existence. The temptations is replete with sinful temptations. When you adhere to it, when you up into the sinful ways, this is when your heart becomes hardened. Hence, it is solemnly warning us and telling us to encourage each other and warn each other. Daily, it encounters us. Hence, we must daily encourage each other. It also refers to abandoning the faith at the time of the Old Testament. Israelites, they had to face persecution because of the faith, and they were at a disadvantageous situation. They had to clandestinely practice the faith, and they also were thrown into the furnace. And because of the insufferable suffering, they apostated from the faith, and moderately wanted to leave their faith, and they returned to Judaism, and they wanted a faith that was devoid of the cross. They wanted their wish was to lead a comfortable life, and this is why they returned to Judaism. This is from the sinful temptation, our hearts could become obdurate. We have this inherent in us. We have the temptations of adequately, just moderately wanting to practice the faith, life without the cross, wide and comfortable religious life. God has convoked us as his disciples, but the cross that we have to shoulder, you wish not to. Adhering to Jesus only for yourself when it conveniences your way, but the moment that inconveniences you, you abandon him. We have this temptation every day. Hence, and you have to combat this every day and triumph over this challenge. On your own, you are liable to fall. This is why you need the help of the church. We have cell gatherings. This is why it's a requisite item to partake in the cell gatherings and to each other, implore each other and uphold each other, because temptations are daily happening, trying to entice us. When parishioners try to uprightly practice the faith, you could be at a loss and it's hard. But in the Lord, there is an eternal repose that is promised to us. You can be the partaker of the eternal heavenly kingdom, wherefrom you can eternally repose. So let us hold on to this. He is our Savior, and He is our High Priest. Let us contemplate deeply on Him and to each other, help each other. While we encourage each other, even though you are shaken by temptations and sinful ways, you can pick yourself up again from the help. We can sternly, robustly be erected once again if you receive the help, the rejoice that you have been robbed of, and the overwhelming grace and the gratitude that you once felt, you can once again be imparted with it. And thirdly, at the outset, when you started on this journey, walking with God, it tells us, we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. When you first started with conviction, if you firmly hold on to the word to the very end. At the outset, when you first received the grace, this is ineffably a great grace that we have received, and it has redeemed us from the dominion of darkness and the Satan's authority. And therefrom we receive the heavenly kingdom from God. But this faith daily is always tested. It will transpire daily without rest. This is why we have to daily and without rest make our convictions to the faith daily. To when? Till the very end, we must hold on to the word. To the very end, you must uphold the word. Only from this, you can partake in His glory. And with the glory, you can eternally repose in the heavenly kingdom. The earthly life is a path of an itinerant. The true repose, true hope does not exist according to your own volition and your wayward ways, and who tries to satiate their carnal desires and all of this. When they do indeed fulfill it, you think that you will be satisfied as you wish, consuming alcohol and in the intoxications of leisures of life and the joys of life. Will you receive happiness? Will you be satisfied? No. Rather, there will be a more negative consequence according to the sinful ways. If you lead a sinful life, will there be joy and peace in that life? No. A family will be broken up, will become dysfunctional. Will there be consolation from earthly life? No, there will not be a peace. We all need Jesus Christ and His salvation that comes from Jesus. To the very end, you must uphold the word. And while you hold on to the word to the very end, at the time of when Jesus comes again, you can repose in His embrace as you partake in His glory and eternally reside in heaven with full elation. The severity of this teaching is enumerated here in the verse 15 and 16. As today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all these Moses led out of Egypt? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? People who rebelled, who induced God's wrath. Who were they? They were the Israelites who were uplifted from the subjugation of slavery of Egypt. They, together with Moses, conducted the exodus of Egypt. They who experienced the wilderness, and they started with conviction. What happened to them at the end? They destructed, verse 17. And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? The life of the wilderness, while they were living in it, they destructed. Who were they? They together commenced the journey into the wilderness that will reach the Canaan Island. They beheld all of the miracles of God. They partook in the salvation. But these people with conviction, they were destructed. Why? What is this imputed to? When they started out, they did not to the very end upheld the word. Verse 18. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? They were insubordinate. They insubordinated from God. Because of the insubordination, they could not enter the promised land. The Israelites. In the beginning, God promised them that they would be allowed into the promised land. But later, he rescinds his promise. Let us together look at Book of Numbers. Something to the effect of that he will be rescinding his original promise to the Israelites. It reads in the Bible. And God promises twice. Once, that they will be allowed to. Second, they will not be allowed to. Why did he rescind his promise? Why do you think he did this? Why is he so capricious? Is he a liar? Is there a problem with God? No, absolutely not. He promised the Israelites with the promised land. But to enter the eternal rest, you have to have faith. That was the prerequisite condition. From God's wrath, they were not able to enter the promised land because of the disobedience. They disobeyed. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Their original conviction dissipated. They not to the very end adhered to the word. This is why they were not able to enter the Canaan destination. At this time, as you hear the admonishment, what you are hearing was spoken to the Israelites who upheld the old traditions of the Judaism, and they found Jesus Christ And for the glory that they will partake, they had conviction for the new salvation, the true salvation. But they apostated from this faith, and because of the wanting to relish the comforts of life, returned to Judaism. At the outset, they believed. What is more important is, right now, at this moment, you have to believe the faith of the yesteryears are not significant if you don't believe now. Right now, at this moment, you have to uphold the word and hold fast to the word. And this way, you can be secured with the entrance to the eternal rest. You do not enter heaven from the faith of the yesteryears and yesterday. You can exclaim, proclaim God. You have to continuously do this daily until He invites us in. You have to walk towards it daily without rest. Our faith is akin to trekking the wilderness. Daily there will be temptations. Sins that will harden your hearts, the challenges of this will be encountering you. Book of Mark 8, 15 verse, be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the east of the Pharisees and that of Herod. The Pharisees, the legalism of Pharisees it is speaking of. As our high priest, he has redeemed us, and you receive this as true salvation and faith. But you have to be careful of self-aggrandizing, because you were graced and received salvation from the grace, not because of your will. It's not because of your conviction and your conducts. So it is warning us that it is all from God's grace. You have to, these were materialist pragmatists. And we have to be careful of this. The Pharisees, a faith without cross, faith that can usher you into a moderate life of faith. From the temptations of sins, you have to be careful, because the sin or convert your heart into a hard state, intractable state. Even from all directions, you receive His ample grace. You will remain as a denier of God if your heart becomes hardened. Let us be careful that it doesn't become a sinful heart, and to prevent this, let us encourage each other, implore each other, so that we will be on the virtuous path daily. And daily, let us ritually exclaim God and make our convictions and renew our convictions daily. Let us hold the scriptures to our hearts and pray.